Welcome to the Automotive Diagnostic Podcast. We're going to explore ways to sharpen our diagnostic skills, find learning resources, and hear from experts in the automotive field. This episode is brought to you by L1 Automotive Training and Keith Perkins. If you're looking for education on module programming, J2534, EEPROM work, key and immobilizer, electrical diagnostics, or drivability diagnostics, Keith has a website, l1training.com, that's got over 60 hours of training videos on all those subjects and more. When I first started out doing mobile, I utilized Keith's videos on module programming and J2534 in order to get my head wrapped around what I would need for the tooling, the computers, the software setups, you know, what kind of obstacles I would be up against when I'm out there programming modules on cars. And it was a huge benefit to me. And I continue to use the training videos that he has on his website. So I strongly recommend checking out l1training.com. The link is in the show notes. This podcast is brought to you by Jarhead Diagnostics. Jarhead Diagnostics manufactures in-house diagnostic equipment and storage solutions, as well as distributes for companies like Pico, ATS, and Topdon. One of my favorite tools that I have bought from Brandon and Jarhead Diag is the case for the U-scope. If you don't have a U-scope, you probably should, but if you have one, you got to get one of these 3D printed cases, has a magnet on it, has a full-size BNC lead that you can connect to, and it gets rid of the weak point of that scope, which is the mini BNC connection, which is pretty fragile. This case makes this thing nice and secure and makes it an even better tool than it was. So check out jarheaddiag.com. The link is in the show notes. Hey, what's going on, automotive world? Welcome to another episode of the Automotive Diagnostic Podcast. My name is Sean Tipping, and I'll be your host once again for this week's episode. Thank you so much for joining me. I got another case study for you here today. This one's actually unsolved. I don't have a final answer on this one. I know the part that I wanted to install next, try to fix this thing, but the customer elected to stop moving forward in attempts to fix this one because it was definitely kind of weird, which is why I'm talking about it. If you've been listening to the show for the last, 6 months to a year, I've been trying to put on as many case studies pertaining to vehicles that have caused us some struggle and some hassle, right? We fix a lot of cars, and a lot of them, you know, because we do a lot of this, don't end up being that bad, right? And those ones aren't very memorable. Don't learn a lot from the ones we just hop in, you know what's wrong, you fix it, you move on, right? So I don't really talk about those a whole lot. But just for reference, we do fix some cars, but I share the ones that beat us up. And those come along rather frequently too, especially with the increasing volume of vehicles that we're working on. So this car fits right in there. And I mean, although I don't have a final, I did learn some stuff about these vehicles, and I have an idea of where I wanted to move next. Just didn't get the chance to. But what I'm curious about, and I'll walk you through the steps here and what we found and what we did. What I'm curious about is what you might have done. What do you think maybe I'm missing? What else would you have looked at, and where else would you have gone with this one? So I'll remind you again towards the end of the episode, but I'd like to hear, you could post in the Facebook group, or you could shoot me an email. What would you have done with this vehicle differently than what I did? Okay. So anyways, what this is 2016 Ford Police Interceptor Utility, which is a Ford Explorer, but as I'll mention as we go through this, indicating that it is a police interceptor utility is key for getting the correct service information and diagrams. But anyways, this is a 2016 Ford Interceptor that was actually purchased by a customer of mine who runs a used car lot. He purchased this from the auction like he does a lot of vehicles. And this particular vehicle, he purchased it for his father, who wanted to use it as an Uber vehicle. All right, cool. If you're not aware, for Uber, the vehicle has to pass an inspection before they'll allow it to be used as an Uber vehicle. So they have centers that go through the vehicle and do a list of checks. I don't know what the full list is, but one of them is any lights that are on the dash, warning indicators. And maybe I shouldn't say any, but specific warning indicators basically can't be there, have to be fixed before they'll allow it to pass inspection. So this thing had an ABS and traction light on and wouldn't pass inspection. So that's what he wants to figure out, is why is the ABS light on? And he actually has a scan tool. He scanned it and sent me a code. And I told him, I was like, well, I'll have to check it out. I don't know, you know, over text what to tell you to do, but let's set up a diagnostic and we can get into this. So that's exactly what I did. He did inform me that, because I ask when a vehicle's from the auction, do you know anything about it? And usually the answer is no. Usually from the auction, we don't have a whole lot of history. He did inform me that it was stolen prior to being at the auction. And you can verify this going to the VIN check website that I mentioned in the last episode, punch in the VIN, and it shows that it's not currently listed on the stolen list, but that it was a total loss because of theft. Okay, so we can verify the vehicle was stolen. Now, I should also note, and I will again in the episode, that these police interceptors use a conventional ignition switch, right? So they don't have a PAT system. They don't have a transponder key. The anti-theft really isn't there in these police vehicles. And that makes it an easier target to steal, of course, because you could potentially just hop in at the ignition switch, you know, hotwired, if you will, and then have the vehicle running. So anyways, it was stolen. I want to keep that in mind as I go, because maybe it has something to do with the issue. I don't know that yet, but I like to know going in where the vehicle came from. Anyways, I get there and I confirm, yes, the ABS light is on, and I do a full vehicle scan. And it reveals I've only got one code in the whole vehicle. It is, in fact, in the ABS module. And it is a U300A-29. Right? We got our subcode. We want to know what that is. The definition of the code via the scan tool says ignition switch signal invalid. And again, that's in our ABS module. Okay, that's why our light's on. I clear the code, you know, save my vehicle scan, but I clear the code and it comes right back immediately. There's no hesitation, right back. So we got a hard fault. Cool. I like those. Let's see if we can figure this out. So first thing I want to know is the information about this code in service information, right? Let's look up and see exactly what sets this code and what direction do I need to go in order to determine where the failure is. So when you're looking up service information on these vehicles, do keep in mind, if you just look up a 2016 Explorer, you're in this case, for this vehicle, it was a 3.7 liter engine. And if you look up an Explorer, you don't have that option as an engine. That only came in the police interceptor model. So if we want to get the correct service information, when you're looking this up, you go Ford 2016, and then it's police interceptor utility, not a Ford Explorer, even though that's kind of what it is. But we want to make sure we're getting the right diagrams, the right information, so we're going to enter it correctly. And just, it took me a moment or two on this one because I was looking for the engine. I couldn't find it. And you have to look it up that way in service information. So just a note on that. So anyways, and I'll probably call it an Explorer here throughout the podcast, but that's just because that's what it is. But if we want to get technical, it's that police interceptor utility when we're looking things up. So even when I entered that correct information and I go into service information and I tried in both all data and identifix, I entered the U300A and I don't get anything pertaining to that code specifically in relationship to the ABS module. Okay. Now, what I mean by that is you can have a trouble code, particularly like a U code, which is involving, you know, network communication a lot of the time. You can have a particular code that will set or is possible to set in multiple modules. And the way Ford's going to break it down is it's going to show you for each module what is the flowchart that you take for that code. Now, it may be very similar between modules, but in some cases, the things that you need to check and the things that you need to look for are going to be specific to the module that set the code, right? And so that's exactly what I want to know is the ABS module in particular, because it's the one that's got the code, what is it looking at in order to not set this code or set this code? What is involved with that module specifically, right? And so when I look up the code, it's going to break it down into different modules. I want to click on the one that says ABS. Well, both Identifix and AllData did not come up with anything for this code. And I even took off the subcode. I just did a U300A. And the only options I get are for the BCM, the instrument cluster, and the steering column control module. And I searched it multiple ways. I tried different engine packages. I even tried just a normal Explorer. So I was like, well, maybe I was wrong going the police method. I'm going to try a regular Explorer. And it was the same thing. So U300A, and there's not much of anything for hits on Identifix or anything like that, but it only comes up in the BCM, the instrument cluster, and the steering column control. Now, you can go into the codes here and you can follow some things, but again, it doesn't pertain specifically to the ABS, right? And so it's having you look at data PIDs in these other modules, which again, okay, I can do that, but I want to know why this code sets in this module in particular. So sometimes what you have to do, and I find myself doing this frequently recently, is actually get the factory service information. Now, that doesn't always 100% work. Sometimes the data is just wrong, missing, something like that. But in this case, a $20 subscription, you get it for like 3 days. You get subscription to the Ford information right off of their website. And when I did this, when I paid my $20 and I got the service information, I did find the code, including the subcode and pertaining exactly to the ABS module. So why that information didn't get passed from the factory service information to the aftermarket, you know, I don't know. Things get missed. It happens. But do keep that in mind, is you can buy a short-term subscription when the data is missing from the aftermarket service information. Now, you can also put in a request with either AllData or Identifix, and a lot of times they can provide the information. And sometimes that's quick, sometimes it's not. So in this case, I just paid the $20 because I want the information. And, you know, $20 in the grand scheme of things isn't a big deal to me to get what I need to know to get this thing solved, right? If it gets it done for me faster than waiting for something, it's worth the $20 to me. So I'm just going to pay for it. And I did find the information that I'm looking for, really detailed. And what it talks about is the ABS module is looking for a particular voltage in order to function correctly. All right. And it's saying that excessive resistance or an open in one or more of these circuits or discharge battery in an operative charging system could result in ABS module setting DTCs related to battery voltage. And it actually gives you two codes. There's a battery voltage below threshold. I don't have that one, but then it has my U300A and it says ignition switch signal invalid. Okay. And this says it sets when the ABS module detects the voltage signal from the ignition run start bus from the battery junction box does not match the voltage message sent from the BCM. Okay. So just to be clear, the battery junction box is the fuse panel under the hood that provides power to the ABS. And the voltage message from the BCM is actually going to be over a network, right? We're sending this over the high speed CAN from the BCM to the ABS, which kind of makes sense. Well, okay, this is a U code, and that makes sense why it fits under the network category. So I can go through this flow chart and see what I need to do now, or at least what Ford has you check, right? And I've said this multiple times before, but I don't always follow flow charts step by step. I'll try to, you know, bring my own thought process into it. And maybe I'll skip around, maybe I'll do something first. But what a flowchart allows me to do in most cases is at least tell what's involved with this code setting or not setting, right? What modules, what circuits, where are we going with this? And so I'm going to read through it and try to find out as much as I can in order to figure out what's wrong with this thing. So again, this is ignition switch invalid, and it's saying that there's a mismatch between what's fed into the ABS and what's coming from the BCM. Okay. And I quickly just look in the data PIDs to see, okay, is there anything in the ABS when the key is on that indicates maybe the key is not in the on position, or vice versa, right? When the key is off, does it still indicate on? That's a possibility too. I mean, it's a hard fault with the key on when I clear it, so probably not that way. But anyways, I'm going to take a look, cycle the key, make sure everything reads correctly. From everything I could find in the ABS, it looks okay. From everything I could find in the BCM, again, looks okay. And I don't see any other codes in any other modules, right? Including the BCM or anything. It's just the ABS that's upset about the ignition. Okay. So in our flow chart, it says to run the network test and then make sure that the ABS module passes, right? And if you're using IDS, it's going to run a network check right away, and it'll show you pass, fail, and the ABS module passes. I actually did a live monitor test on this as well, and I'll get to that. When I did the live network monitor, what I'm doing is I'm pinging the control modules actively, right? So the tool goes through, and this is an IDS feature. I'm not aware of another tool that can do this on Fords, but IDS will ping all of the control modules, and it gives you a visual representation. And if a module is offline or misses a message intermittently, it'll actually make an audible sound, and it'll have a missed message counter, and it'll be red if it goes offline. And so this is just a live way to show that, hey, all the modules are awake, they're communicating. And I ran this, and everything appeared to be good, particularly on looking at the ABS module, right? And it shows me the network breakdown, showing me that the body control module is on the high speed one can and the ABS is on the high speed two can, but it's all there. Everything is green. Everything is receiving its messages. So the next step in the flowchart after it passes the network test is to verify that the battery junction box fuses 26, 32, and 52 are okay. So I checked those fuses and they're good. They have power on both sides of them. Again, that's a step in the flowchart, but that's good. I can look at the wire diagram too to see that these are the power feeds that are going to be for the ABS module, and everything is intact. Then it has you check powers and grounds at the ABS module before replacing it. And that's it for the flowchart. Okay, so to run a network test, I think it has you clear the code, make sure it doesn't come back, and it does. And then check the fuses, check powers and grounds at the module, replace ABS. That's it for the flowchart. So I'd like to go a little deeper than that, but that's really all they're having you do is, and there wasn't really much about the network message from the BCM or checking anything in the BCM. It's just, if it's alive on the network test and the powers and grounds are good to it, replace it. Okay. And maybe we will, but let's dig a little bit deeper here. Maybe we can find out what's going on. So the connector on the ABS is actually under the battery, and it's kind of a pain to get to. Also, I'm just kind of lazy when I first get into these. I just want to do as much as I can through the scan tool or in the driver's seat before I start digging, you know, two modules and potentially disturbing things. What else can I tell? This is my thought process in the moment. What else can I tell before I get to that point? One thing I wanted to do here, again, this is an auction vehicle. Who knows where it's been, is I want to just try running an as-built and or a PMI on the ABS module just to see what happens, right? At this point, it's not going to hurt anything. And who knows, maybe they'll fix my problem. And my thought here was, you know, maybe this is a pre-existing problem you know, prior to all of this, this could have been an issue on this vehicle for a while, but maybe somebody switched out an ABS module at some point or another on this thing, or put in an incorrect component, because the Ford Explorers are going to use a different type of ignition switch potentially, right? The push button start is an option for these vehicles. And maybe there's something where the ABS is looking for a different signal than this vehicle is capable of giving it through the BCM status. It's possible. So really what I'm doing here, and using Forescan or IDS, you can actually verify that the as-built is correct in the ABS for the vehicle, but you can just push it through and see what happens, right? Let's just run an as-built. Let's run a PMI, which will also do the as-built as well. But every single time I try to do this with either IDS or Forescan, I get the vehicle is in the incorrect state, or vehicle is in the wrong state when I attempt to do the as-built programming. And I tried this multiple times, multiple ways, and wouldn't let me do it. So at this point, I thought that was kind of odd, and it does go along with what our code is saying, that the ignition, there's an ignition switch inconsistency between what the ABS module is seeing for powers and grounds and what is being fed through the bus from the BCM. So at this point, I've double checked the ignition switch and power mode data PIDs, particularly paying attention again to the ABS, but also the BCM. Like, what is the BCM's status here? And I wasn't really focused on the BCM at first because there's no codes there and there's no codes in any other module. And I should say this thing starts and runs, right? There's no issues there. So it's not like there's an actual ignition switch problem that I can tell at the moment, because it starts up and runs fine. But I want to look at those data PIDs in the BCM. I don't see anything that's out of place. Everything shows me that the ignition switch is in the right position. And again, I cycled it. I went off, I went to accessory, went on, went crank, and it changes the whole time. Everything looks like it is what it needs to be. Now, that's not to say there's something behind the scenes that I'm not seeing between the two modules that is not visible with a scan tool, right? Sometimes data PIDs are nice, but they don't always include everything. There could be something just in the background being transferred between the two modules that's not visible through a scan tool data PID, but everything I can see is there and indicates the right power mode or ignition status for the vehicle. So I'm kind of wondering, you know, does this have anything to do with the theft of the vehicle, or was it a pre-existing fault? Again, is the ABS module correct for the vehicle? And again, I'm being lazy here instead of going to the ABS. But what I'm going to look at here is not only the part number, but the VIN number of the ABS module and all the other modules as well. And you can do this whether IDS or Forescan. When it initially does its network test, it's going to talk to all the modules on the vehicle. And if you go to the list or the configuration portion of Forescan, I like Forescan. Forescan just seems to be quicker with this, but you can do it on IDS as well. It's going to break down every module, the part number, the calibration number, and then also if it stores it, the VIN number. And all of those should match the vehicle, which I found they did. And particularly for the ABS, I'm focused on the ABS here, of course, but it has the correct VIN number for the vehicle. And so do all the other modules, particularly the BCM has the correct VIN number for the vehicle. Okay. Now it does have a part number here, and I'm going to just see, is this a correct part number for the vehicle? Now, I looked this up in RepairLink Shop using the VIN number, and it's a different part number. Now, it's very close. The first four digits in the module are FB53, and the first four in RepairLink is FB5Z, as in zebra. Other than that, they're the same. The rest of it's 2C219AE, and then the rest of the other one is 2C219A. So not an exact match. They're close, but they are different. And I'm not jumping into conclusions just yet, but I'll keep that in mind that, okay, this part number does not seem to match up to the vehicle for this ABS unit. And I actually searched the part number by itself using RepairLink just to see that the module, the part number that's in the ABS module currently, I searched that on its own within RepairLink shop, and it comes up with nothing. It says there are no results to display for this part number. And again, I'm like, okay, well, maybe this is the incorrect part for this module. Once again, I decided to search as just a 2016 Explorer, just in case. I put that in, and I looked up this part number both ways, and it said part not found in database for either one. Okay, so I'm suspicious of the part number, but I'm going to keep moving here and just keep that in mind that, hey, maybe this is the incorrect ABS module. Now, it has the right VIN in it, but it won't let me program it. Says vehicle's in the wrong state, and we don't have a matching part number. So at this point, didn't have a whole lot else to do before just checking powers and grounds at the module, right? This is kind of my thing I was putting off, but at this point, I have to verify that. And if all of those are present, it sure seems like this ABS module is just wrong for the vehicle, right? If there were other modules flagging an issue for ignition status, or if I had, you know, any actual concerns of things not working in the vehicle, I'd be looking closer at the ignition status, but every other module is happy. The data pads indicate, you know, what they should based off of the ignition switch. And I have that incorrect part number in the ABS. So like, okay, well, let's do what the service information is indicating and verify the powers and grounds to the module. So I did that, and it was a pain to get to, but we tested it. They're all there. Okay, powers and grounds. And so at this point, I told the customer, oh, and I also, once I was at the module, I verified the part number stamped onto the side of the ABS module matched what it showed in the scan tool. Sometimes you read a part number in the through the scan tool, and it's different than the actual physical hardware number that's stamped on it, depending on what we're working on. But in this case, that wasn't the case. This matched the number. And again, I can't seem to find this number. I did some Googling with this part number, and it did show up on like eBay searches to match this vehicle, but it didn't come up in RepairLink. So maybe there's some like supersession of the number. I don't know. But at this point, I told him, like, hey, man, everything I see is good except for this ABS module seems to be questionable. I think you should get one. If you want to try to use one, that's fine, but it's got to be for a police interceptor, because I'm suspicious. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's for something else, different application that, you know, the ignition status is not happy. And I told him too, I was like, this may not have anything to do with the vehicle theft. This could have been a pre-existing condition of this vehicle that was there for a long time, because it didn't look like the ABS module had recently been changed. But you know, somebody might have just been driving around with the ABS light on forever in this vehicle and not cared about it. So he decides he's going to do that. And he did go with a used module, but he made sure to take it out of a police interceptor of the same year with the same ignition switch setup. And that's what I asked of him. Now, what we found was the part number out of that interceptor matched exactly the part number, the one we took out of it. Okay, so even though this doesn't show up on RepairLink, it sure does seem to be correct for the application. So he installed this module, and then he said, hey, can you come out and program this thing now? Sure, we'll come out and program this thing. I am happy to have Automotive Seminars as a sponsor for the show. Now, if you're not familiar, Automotive Seminars is a diagnostic technician training company. They've got a website that there'll be a link to in the show notes. And what they offer is top-notch training to technicians like us in the field. I've been taking their training courses for years and have got a ton of benefit out of it. They've got top-notch instructors, John Thornton, Scott Shotton, Scott Manna. And every other month, they've got a two-night course that you can sign up for. Join in, ask questions, and afterwards, you've paid for the course, you can access a recorded version whenever you want. You can rewatch the class 2 years later in case you wanted some details on it, and that is a fantastic feature. So make sure to check out the website to see what courses they have available and what's coming up in the future. And of course, the module has some VIN errors along with other codes, but it also has a U300A, same code as we had before. I go to program this thing, try to run the as-built or the PMI in order to correct the VIN and get the correct calibrations in here, and it gives me the same error, vehicle's in wrong state. So we're back to square one on this one, made a bad call on that module, and you know, now we have more errors than just the ignition switch one, but that ignition switch code is back, even with a module that's, you know, it's not set up for the vehicle yet, but it came out of the same type of vehicle. And again, it won't let me program it. We can't even punch in as-built data this thing because the vehicle's in the wrong state. So where do I go from here? You know, is this still the wrong module? I don't think so. Is there something else on the vehicle that's causing this? And that's what I've got to look at this point. And kind of want to start fresh at this point. And I usually will do that if I make the wrong call on something, is I don't want to dwell too much on the stuff that I've already looked at, because maybe I missed something, overlooked something, didn't understand something correctly. So it's worthwhile to go back over some of your testing and your thought processes and treat the vehicle fresh. Now, obviously, we know what we've done. We know what we've replaced and where we're at so far, but it's definitely worthwhile in a scenario like this to go back over your tests and thought process and information, because sometimes you find, I completely glanced over that piece of information, or I missed looking in X module, or I didn't think about, you know, this. And going back through your steps can help you figure that stuff out. So triple check all my ignition data PIDs in all the modules that I could think of. Like, I was like, well, maybe there's another module that's involved here, like the gateway. Right, and I'll show you in a little bit here that the gateway module actually transfers the message from the BCM to the network that the ABS is on. And I looked at that and I couldn't find anything that indicated the wrong ignition status, right? Or voltage for the battery. Everything seemed to match where I actually had the key in this thing. I was talking to a friend about this actually, and he had suggested, he's like, hey, this thing was stolen. You know, even though you don't see anything as a data PID, you might want to look at the electrical connector at the back of the ignition switch. And again, these are just conventional ignition switches, no PATs or anything like that. And he's like, they could have, you know, actually hot wired this thing to get it to go. And maybe the wires are not in the correct position at the ignition switch if it was repaired or put back together or something was, you know, cut and spliced. And so I did that, again, great advice to do that. And I ended up finding that everything matches the diagram. Everything is where it's supposed to be. And I get all of the, you know, voltages in and out of the switch that I'm supposed to, considering the state of the ignition. So again, I'm kind of thinking, is this the wrong ABS module? You know, our part number is a little suspect, but one thing I was thinking at this point, now that I've got a new module with the wrong VIN in it and it won't let me program it, the original ABS module that we had in there had the correct VIN in there, meaning that someone had to have programmed that module to that vehicle at some point, right? So that means to me that this is a new problem since the point at which that original module got programmed. Also, just kind of leading me to think that this isn't a problem with the ABS module being incorrect or wrong. Like, can't say that 100%, but it sure doesn't seem like it at this point. So this is going to lead me to look at the BCM and the network and the message that's being sent from the BCM out to other modules. Like, where does it start? How does it get there? Who's involved? That's my next place that I want to look at this. And again, I went through my data PIDs in my BCM just to see, is there something, maybe a data PID named something different that I'm not familiar with as far as ignition status or power mode or anything like that? I found all the ones I could. I scoured the data stream. And there's a lot of data PIDs in the BCM on a Ford, but everything indicates the correct status. So what the BCM is going to do on this vehicle is, if you look at the diagram all of the circuits from the ignition switch feed directly into the BCM. And the BCM takes that information and it's going to actually put it out onto a CAN bus for the modules that need the ignition switch status, right? And the ABS being one of those. And like I mentioned earlier, this code is set based on the voltages hardwired versus the CAN message that they don't match, right? And we've already verified that the hardwired voltages to this ABS module are correct. But we really got to look at this message that the BCM is sending out, all right? And it outlines this in the information for the code. Again, I had to look on Ford service information to get it, but it's there. But my question at this point is, how exactly does that message reach the ABS module? And Ford does a really good job of breaking down the network communications all the way down to the message where it's broadcasted from and the receiving module. So take a look at this. If you've never looked at it in Ford service information before, you're going to see first a diagram, which is a visual breakdown of the different networks on the vehicle. And it's going to show you all the possible modules. So do keep in mind that not all of them are equipped on your particular vehicle, but it'll show you, you know, the different high speed CANs in this vehicle. We have three high speed CANs and then also a medium speed CAN that has some different modules on it. But it's going to show you which modules are on what network and who the gateway modules are, you know, who is capable or in charge of sending messages between these separate networks. And in this case, it is the gateway module, which is also just the DLC. The DLC is a module, it's a gateway, it's connected to all of the different networks, and it's going to share information between them. Now, the diagram's really nice, and we can infer just by looking at it that the BCM has to pass a message through the gateway module to get to the high-speed CAN where the ABS is at. And I can infer that just by looking at it, but you can actually go a little further with this information on Ford service info. And you can find this in aftermarket information too. Just search network when you're in the vehicle for Identifix or ALLDATA, and it'll show you this document. And what it breaks down is the actual message, and there's a ton of different messages that are sent out by the control module, who broadcasts the message, and the receiving module per network breakdown. So let me explain this again. And we're going to focus in on our message that I'm concerned about for this vehicle. So the ignition status is definitely the one that I am concerned about. And it shows me that the BCM is the broadcasting module for the ignition status, which makes sense. The ignition switch feeds the BCM directly. Then it's going to say what network that message is actually goes out onto, and it's high speed CAN one. The BCM puts this message out and it goes to the PCM, the parking age module, the HCM, which I didn't look up what that was, and the gateway module. Okay, that's it for high speed CAN one. Our ABS isn't on there. Well, why not? If you scroll down a little bit, you can see ignition status, gateway module, high speed CAN two. And then there's a number of other modules that this ignition status goes to, one of them being the ABS module, but it has steering column control, restraint control module, and a few others. But the ABS module is here. So what we can see here is what we kind of inferred from the diagram, but that the ignition status goes from the BCM to the gateway module onto the high-speed CAN 2 to our ABS module, right? And other modules too, right? That message is meant for different modules, but this is how it gets to the ABS module in particular. Okay. So if this message isn't being sent out, shouldn't there be other modules on the high speed two that would be affected? I would think so, right? If the message just wasn't there, why would the ABS module be the only one that's upset about it? So here's what I was thinking. I was like, I'm going to try running as built on the other modules that are on that high speed two network, right? Because going back to trying to program my ABS module and it won't let me, Even though the data pins in the ABS module show the ignition switch in the right place, it's blocking me saying that the vehicle's in the incorrect state. And what I'm thinking here is this is based off of the message that's on that network. Are the other modules in the same state, or are they receiving the same message? And because it blocks me doing an as-built, are the other modules on that network going to block me doing or attempting to do an as-built? And I don't know that this test is going to be 100% conclusive, but it's an easy thing to try, especially with Forescan. I mean, you don't even have to change the as-built. It's a good way to verify that it's correct, because you can load the factory as-built. And if it's the same, it'll say there's no changes. Do you want to force write it? And you can say yes. And so I tried that for every module that was on the high speed CAN 2. And the ABS obviously blocks me, but everything else allows me to do the as-built programming except for the restraint control module. So the airbag module. When I attempt to do the restraint control module, it gives me the same error. Vehicle is in the wrong condition or the wrong state in order to complete this. And I thought that was really odd. So we only have two modules on this network that seem to be affected. Now, there's no codes in the RCM, but there's definitely something about the information that's being sent out that's not allowing it to complete. And again, I looked at the data PIDs in the RCM, don't see anything that indicates incorrect ignition status, but it won't let me continue the programming. Okay. So this is going to point me back towards the body control module. Right, originating message. Maybe the gateway module is involved too, but I really need to at this point look closely at the BCM. And when I go to the BCM, one of the things I want to look at now, and I looked at this before, but I want to double check, is this the right VIN? Is the right VIN in the BCM? Has that been changed at any point or another? And we'll look at the part number for the BCM and see if we can match that up. Now, the VIN is correct. So it's got the correct VIN number. And when I look up the part number, part number doesn't match, but I'm not 100% convinced on it, just because I've seen it where the part number read in the module and the sticker on the module be a little different, and I'm not to the actual BCM yet. So I'll just keep that in mind. But the other thing I was going to try to do is running a PMI or as-built function on the BCM. Maybe this thing's coded wrong or incorrectly somehow or another. It's possible. Maybe it's not set up for ABS, right? Maybe it's that simple. Now, why the airbag module's airing out, that doesn't jive with that, but that's kind of what I'm thinking is I just want to try. I haven't tried to do a PMI or an as-built on a BCM yet. So I try that. This one airs out, but it gives me a different error. It says incompatible configuration. Now, you can look up the actual coding that's supposed to be in the body control module or any module via the Ford website. You can go to the quick references, as-built data, punch in your VIN, complete the CAPTCHA, and it'll give you all of the coding. And you can manually type it in. Ford IDS and Forescan will automatically load it for you from the Ford server. Now, the data is different. Now, there's a ton of data in here for the BCM, but it is different in a few spots from the factory data. But when I try to change it to what is in on the Ford server, this is incompatible configuration. It won't allow me to change that as-built data, which I thought was very strange. Now, I have had some Ford modules recently where the data on the server is just wrong. And you have to get it off of the old module. That's not something I can do here because the BCM is the only one I have at the moment. But it is incorrect. And I can't seem to change it. Now, what's interesting, though, is that the BCM, using Forescan, I could go into the configuration status. So if you've never used Forescan, it's a really helpful tool on Fords. It'll allow you to see the as-built coding, the actual hex coding that sets up the module for specific applications and change that to whatever you want. But it also in some modules will give you a translated version, right? So it's translating the coding to the actual vehicle options. Like, is this equipped with a remote start? Is it a police vehicle? Does it have LED turn signals, right? That sort of stuff. And what you can do in Forescan is turn on and off those specific things, and it changes the actual coding in the background. So you don't need to know the hex coding for LED turn signals on a vehicle if Forescan has that option. Now, that's not an option on every single module on every single vehicle, but in the BCM on this one, it is. And it allows me to change the status of individual configurations, and it will actually go through. So it completes it. Unlike the ABS, where it won't let me change anything, always says the vehicle's in the wrong state, the BCM, I can change individual configurations. Now, what I did is I searched through all of these configurations to see, is there anything pertaining to ignition switch status, police, ABS, anything like that? There was nothing in there that I could find or that I could change that changed my situation. Although I could change things, it would allow me to actually do it. Nothing helped my situation. And again, part number doesn't match for the BCM in RepairLink. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm kind of running out of options here. And my last check that I want to do is powers and grounds at the BCM in every ignition state. And the reason being is I'm kind of leaning towards my BCM. Now, the gateway was somewhat in question for me because it translates that message. But the fact that I can't do my as-built configuration based off of what's on the Ford server, you know, just is kind of pointing me towards there's something up with this BCM that doesn't jive. So I check my powers and grounds of the BCM and everything is there. And that's what the data PIDs reflected to, but it's all there. And so at this point, I don't have a whole lot more options in the moment. I did have to get on with my day. And I told the guy, I was like, hey, man, I think a BCM is the next thing we have to try on this. And I was honest with him. And I showed him everything that I found. And he's a cool guy. He understands. So especially buying cars from the auctions, he knows that sometimes they are just really screwed up vehicles. And I told him BCM is going to be my next step here. I can't 100% say, like, I don't have all the confidence in the world that this is going to fix it, but it's the next thing that I would like to try in order to move forward in this process. And okay, if we get the exact same errors with another BCM, okay, we'll keep digging, but I don't have anything else right now to try. So he thought about it and he looked into BCMs and stuff and he's like, you know what? I've already sunk some money into this thing and I don't want to pursue it anymore. I'm just going to drive it with the ABS light on. And I was kind of bummed to hear that because, you know, I like to get to the conclusion on these things, but he didn't want to pursue it anymore. You know, he was paying me for my time and bought an ABS module for it used, but still paid to get it installed and everything. And he's just cutting his losses because the car's not that important to him. He was going to find a different vehicle for his dad to drive for Uber. So, okay. And then they're just going to keep the vehicle and drive it with the ABS light on. So that's actually where I ended up on this one. That was it. So I'm curious to know, with all that information, what do you think? What do you think I'm missing? And what would you have tried or done next? I'd be really curious to know. So check out the Facebook group. You can find that as there's a link in the show notes, or shoot me an email if you don't want to go on Facebook. I get it. You can find me on Facebook Messenger too, and definitely shoot me something there. You know, I do have the option of going back to this vehicle and taking another look at it if I wanted to, because he's going to keep it and drive it. But it didn't sound like he wanted to put a BCM in it, at least not without 100% certainty that it was going to fix it, which I can't say that I have 100% certainty on this, but it's the next likely thing that I would like to try on this vehicle. So let me know what you think. Pretty interesting one, even though it didn't get to the solution just yet. But that's what I've got for you today. Thank you so much for listening to the show. I really appreciate it. That all out of the way, let's get out there, start fixing the world, one car at a time.